You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you briefly talk about your views on the overlap between AI and humanity?
So that's a really interesting one. We're in quite an unprecedented time where we're watching a technology take off in real time and also having the opportunity to shape it. And I think that's the part that a lot of people miss. You know, AI isn't something that we are just being thrust upon and consuming. I mean, it is, but there is still a lot of opportunity for us as humans to think about and shape the values that are going to be embedded within these AI that we're using. And I think that's quite new, right? So when we've seen other technologies occur in the past, they've sort of just been this black box of technology and we can either take it or leave it. Whereas AI has presented us with, you know, tools and platforms where we can really get into it and build our own chatbot and build our own AI platform that is wrapped around LLMs that exist, like OpenAI or Claude or Gemini, but we can really put in our own values, and I think that's quite unique with this technology.
Now, in your article for Newsroom, you mentioned AI possesses American values, which won't suit responses in a New Zealand context. So would it be better to program AI to have culture-specific values than rely purely on human values?
Absolutely, right? This is the thing that we see quite a lot, and it's the hallucinations and biases have decreased over time. But, for example, if you ask Nana Banana or OpenAI's image tool to create an image of a Maori person standing on New Zealand beach, they will inevitably create something that looks like Maui, right? And that, or a very stereotypical idea of what a Maori person looks like. And that goes for other things as well. Like if you ask for other cultural ideas, it will always give you a very stereotypical and often US-centric view of the world. And I think that's something that we as Kiwis need to be really careful of when we're consuming these AIs and just being really mindful of that. And then just working within our own organizations and our companies and our brands to ensure that if we are using AI to generate, like for example, for marketing, you know, a lot of content creators do use AI to generate images, but just being careful and just being aware that when you use it for images for a Kiwi audience, then it really needs to vibe with a Kiwi audience, and we need to be more vigilant with checking for that cultural bias.
So in the end, if we were to choose between, say, an AI platform having cultural specific values versus relying on human values, like say in the old days, as it were, what would be better?
This is sort of the underlying theme of the article for Newsroom, and that is value-based design, right? So we need to be cognizant of whose values are being encapsulated within AI, because it is human values, but it's like whose humans or whose values gets chosen to be the base of some of these LLMs. And that's quite important. So it's not human versus AI, it's almost human versus human in these AI systems. Because these AI systems are designed based upon someone's value set, right? And we just need to think about whose values are being multiplied within these AI systems. And that's, I guess that's the most important takeaway from the article, this idea of value-based design.
In your article, you also mentioned that our smartphones produce slightly polished images and that producing polished images has become the norm today, be it for social media or businesses. So will there ever come a time when we would have had enough of these curated images and revert to raw and authentic imagery?
Oh, absolutely. There is a movement within marketing, for example, for nostalgic images, right? Where people want to go back to that nostalgic 80s summer vibe where things were not so prettily put together and they were just a bit edgy and a bit raw. And I think that's definitely something that we are wanting to see more and more of as we are getting presented with polished versions of everything, not just pictures, but also writing and videos that are just so, you know, cleverly and neatly put together. And it's like, okay, this is very neat and tidy, but where's the human? Where's the authentic human voice within these pictures, within the story that these videos are telling, within the writing that we're seeing? It's just all becoming a bit too polished and a bit too neat and tidy. And I think we are definitely seeing a pushback where people are asking for, okay, but we want to see the human. And that can, you know, like in the form of nostalgic ads. And also we see it here at the university where we are really trying to figure out ways that we can do assessments with students that show us their true voice, because students' voices have the danger of being lost, you know, when they just put in their entire thought process into an LLM and then just trust whatever the LLM spits out, all neat and tidy and put together, is the best thing that they're going to submit. And then it's like, well, they all sound the same now. So, you know, we're really trying to understand where's the student voice and how can we get it to come out. And that goes for, you know, multiplying outwards into society as well.
So say if we do start creating AIs that are more culture specific, is there a risk of just having too many AI models or too many AI softwares, almost a proliferation of it and a saturation of it?
Well, yes, it's definitely an arms race. There's so many AI models and platforms that are being created with the, you know, as a wrapper around these LLMs that we have, you know, the big players of OpenAI and Claude and Gemini. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's good to have a lot of choice, and it will just give consumers an opportunity to choose which one resonates the best with them. And then, you know, that will be the one that's funded and that will be the one that's put forward and adopted by more and more people. So I don't think it's necessarily a problem to have so many different AI tools. Yeah, I think it will just be best in class. It'll just be the one that resonates the best with people and that they will have higher adoption rates of that. So it's good for us to have choice.
And lastly, we've often heard some version or the other of, even though we use AI, the final decision should be made by us. So at what point should we realize that we need to make the final call and not leave it to AI?
Yes, well, that's quite important. I think especially right now, as we are still a bit unaware of the abilities of AI and of how to use AI appropriately and ethically, I think we definitely need to keep human in the loop and have human oversight over outputs, because AI's hallucination rates have decreased, but the bias is still there. Even though that's decreasing as well, we need to keep an oversight of AI right now, because we don't have a deep understanding of the abilities of AI. And also, if we don't have human oversight, then we will lose this authentic human voice. And I think both of those things are quite important and something to be mindful of in this almost arms race of who's going to adopt the most AI the fastest and outsource as much as possible to AI. I think that's just something to be aware of.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.